Father, you reign. Above every name. reign forevermore.
Lord, you reign forevermore.
Mighty great as
you.
Father, you reign.
Lord, you reign. Reign forever.
Jesus, you reign.
Reign forever.
Lord, you reign.
You reign.
Reign
forevermore.
I lift my hands to you. My heart to you. I surrender my life. Lord, you reign.
Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, you reign. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good and worthy to be praised. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I welcome you to the Woman to Woman to Man show on this morning. Truly rejoicing. Rejoicing and praising God today. Amen. I thank God for his awesomeness. I thank God for being God in my life. I thank God for, my God, every day being a new day filled with new opportunities. Hallelujah. To do something new for God. And I just thank God, hallelujah, that he's constantly moving in our lives, that God is not slack concerning his promises. My God, he is faithful. He is faithful. That's why I love that song that just went off, You Reign, You Reign. And that is my testimony today. God reigns, he reigns. And that's by Vashawn Mitchell, You Reign. And I could have stayed right there, just worshiping God, just worshiping God. Anybody know what it's like just to be in a place where you just, all you can say is thank you. All you can say is thank you. You know you've been through something. You know that God has brought you out of a storm or a trial. And all you can do is say, thank you, Lord. You brought me out. I could have died in there. I could have lost my mind. I could have, you know, just gone berserk. But God, you kept me in the middle of that storm. And for that, I'm grateful. I'm grateful on today. We serve a mighty God. And we welcome you to the broadcast on today. We just thank God for the opportunity to be on the air one more time. And today's topic is a good one, a new you, a new you. Even as I was posting the broadcast on today, the Lord just dropped that in my spirit. I want you to talk to the people about becoming new. God says, forget the former things. He says, behold, I do a new thing. Can you not perceive it? And I'm here to tell you today that God is doing a new thing in your life. There's a lot of old stuff. There's a lot of clutter, a lot of clutter. There's somebody listening, and there's a lot of clutter in your life. Your mind is cluttered up with unnecessary stuff. You've been concentrating on some old problems. You know, there's a lot of cobwebs and dust, and that signifies some issues that God says he's already done with. He's already resolved those issues, but some of you are holding on to that old stuff. And God is saying today is the day to release the old, to get rid of the old, because he's doing something new. You got to hear God on today. God says, behold, I do a new thing. Can you not perceive it? And God is raising you up. There's somebody out there, God is saying, he's saying, I'm raising you up. I'm raising you up. Your circumstances have had you bogged down. It's almost like quicksand, you know, quicksand from the old movies. I've never really seen quicksand, but when you step into quicksand, I've seen it on the movies, it just sucks you in, and no matter how much you fight, as a matter of fact, the more you fight against the quicksand, the quicker it sucks you in. So they used to tell the people in the movies when they got in quicksand to just be still, because it would give them more time to be rescued. And God is saying, in the middle of your quicksand, be still. Be still and let me rescue you. See the salvation of the Lord. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to work yourself out of that situation. Be still and allow God to pull you out. God's getting ready to pull you out. I don't know who that's for, but God has that word in my belly, and I just have to release it, that God's getting ready to pull you out. He wants to do something new. He wants you to begin to do some spring cleaning. God wants you to begin to do some spring cleaning. I see a lot of clutter. He wants you to begin to clean out. Some of that clutter is right here in the studio on my dining room table. But even more so in the spirit realm, God says there's some things he wants to clean out. You know, I'm looking at two printers on my dining room table, a laptop, a CPU, a desktop. I'm looking at some books and some papers. There's a lot of stuff going on my dining room table. But even as God drew my attention to that, he said there's a lot of stuff going on, but he wants to begin to straighten stuff out. He wants to begin to bring order to the disorder. God wants to bring organization to the clutter. He wants to bring organization to the clutter. Amen. God wants to put things in order. Amen. Hallelujah. So that you can begin to walk in the newness of this season. It's a new season. It's a new season for you. God says this is a new season. It's a new day. Amen. And it's time for you to walk in it. And God says stop trying. Stop trying to do things in your own strength. I just heard that word come back to me today. Just now God is saying stop trying to do things in your own strength. This is a time when God says you need to lean on him all the more. When you need to lean on him and trust in him and lean on him all the more. Stop putting your trust in people, because people are going to continue to let you down. And, you know, I'm picking up a spirit of worry. There's some worry, and I see bills. God saying, don't worry about the bills, the money. God showed me the scripture now, Matthew chapter 6, 33-34. God says, if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, everything else will be added unto you. And he's telling you now that this is a time more than ever to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And he says he's getting ready to release some stuff to you that's been held up due to disobedience. Due to disobedience. There's some things that God is speaking to you, and you know, it's funny how we say God told me, or I heard the Lord say, and God told me to do this, or God told me to do that, and then we still don't do what we say God told us to do. Well, first and foremost, we have to be careful about lying on God, and then we have to be extra careful about being disobedient to the word of God. If we heard God, if God showed us something or told us to do something, then we need to move out by faith and do that thing that God has told us to do. And it's amazing because sometimes the things that God told us to do don't make sense. You know, Pastor Anthony and I talked, I think we did a broadcast years ago about what to do when what God is telling you to do does not make sense. And you know, we have to think about the scripture, because God says, I will take the foolish things to confound the wise. And God is saying, I will take what seems like foolishness to man, or what seems like foolishness to your own intellect, and I will use that to confound the wise. So be very careful and know, hear God, have a spirit of discernment to hear God speaking in your life, and then be obedient to the voice of God and obey God. Amen. Hallelujah. So but God has me flowing prophetically today. I don't know. There's a lot going on in the spirit realm. There's a lot of, there's a lot of storms. I see, you know, winds and rains and storms coming, distractions. Yeah, there are a lot of distractions coming, trying to distract the people of God from living life on purpose, trying to stop you from meeting your destiny, trying to stop you from living your dream, trying to stop you from being successful at that business endeavor. And the Lord is saying to you on today, I need you to focus. I need you to focus. I need you to have focused energy. Keep your balance. Don't get off balance. Don't lose your balance. Don't lose your focus. It was when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus that he felt like he was getting ready to sink. So God is saying keep your eyes stayed on him, because he's going to guide you and direct you in the way that you should go. And if you're stepping out on faith, guess, what does that say? I'm stepping out on faith. I'm stepping out on faith. So being that you're stepping out on faith, amen, you have to believe truly that God told you to do what you're doing. So when you step out on faith, you have to not just step out on faith, but you have to continue to walk by faith. You have to keep walking by faith, even if nobody comes, even if nobody supports you, even if nobody buys your product, even if nobody believes in your dreams. You have to continue to move forward by faith. Amen. So that's what the Lord is saying on today, all of that, whatever I just said, amen. If you missed any of it, go back and listen to the archive, because I believe that those of you who are here, that word is for you. That word is for you. God wants you to revitalize. Yeah. God wants to revitalize your faith. See, some of you have gotten dry in the area of your faith. It's like a dried up raisin or a prune. And God says, I want to begin to put the anointing back into your faith. I want to begin to put water back into your faith, air back into your balloon. Yeah, it's like a deflated balloon. And God is saying, I want to begin to inflate your dream again. I want your dream to blow up. I want it to just, I want you to begin to dream big again. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of the air has gone out of your cells, and God wants to revitalize your faith. Amen. To get you to believe again. It's time to believe again. Pick up that dream, blow off the dust, and begin to live again. And that's where this topic, today's topic, comes in today. Thank you, Lord. A new you. A new you. God is recreating you. In the book of Romans, the Bible tells us to submit yourself to God, a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable. Submit your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. And this is from my head. I'm pulling the scripture out of my head. Holy and acceptable unto God, for this is your reasonable service. Being no longer conformed to the things of this world, but being transformed, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's where everything that I just said comes into play with today's topic, a new you. God is saying, where I'm taking you, the old you can't go. Oh, man. Where God is taking you, the old you can't go. That's why God has had to recreate you. That's why God is recreating you. That's why God is redeveloping you. That's why God is making you into somebody that you don't even recognize. There's a stripping away. There's a pruning that's been taking place in your life. People have been walking out on you. Some of you may have been let go from your job. There are some friends that are no longer friends. There are some people that were in your inner circle that now have gotten farther away from you. There's some attitude adjustments that are being made in your life, and your faith is being developed. You are getting more confidence, and God is healing you, because God is saying, there's a new person. I can't put the new wine into the old wineskins. So God says, I have to make you new. I have to make you new. Yes, you're a new creation through Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. The new has come. You've become new through the Holy Spirit that came to live on the inside of you when you got saved. But God says, now I want to do a total transformation. God wants to do a total transformation. He wants to revamp your whole way of thinking. God wants to change your thought process. And he wants to annihilate the old you, the old way of doing things, the old way of thinking, the old way of acting. And he wants to put his newness on your on the old you. He wants to make you a new creation. God wants to wrap you up in him. He wants to wrap you up in him, amen, up in his power. God wants to wrap you up in his wisdom. God wants to wrap you up in his his ability. God wants to wrap you up in him, amen, so there's no longer you that lives, but it's the God who lives in you and through you, amen, and even upon you. That's the kind of power I'm talking about. It's new. It's totally, you know, it's a totally new thing that God wants to do. And you know what? When you become that new you, people will look at you and they will think of you differently. They will respect you differently. They won't even know how to understand you. You think people can't understand you now. Well, guess what? It's going to get even more intense because the new you is, you're not even going to be able to understand the new you. All you're going to know is that it's not you, but it's God. All you're going to be able to do when people say, my God, you've changed. My God, you're powerful. My God, you're prosperous. My God, you're successful. I never thought you could make it. All you can do, all you're going to be able to do is say, God, I give God the glory. Amen. So we want to talk about that new you today, and I want to have you call in and let me know what are some of the things that you believe God is doing new in your life. How is God changing your life, and what are some of the things that you know you need to have pruned off of you? You know, I preached last night at a sister circle over in Newark, at a church in Newark, and one of the things the Lord had me declare is that we cannot continue in our old behaviors that are counterproductive to God's will and expect the blessings of the Lord to overflow in our lives. Because the devil is only using those old behaviors, which are what we would call sin. The devil is only using those old behaviors to sabotage God's plan in your life. See, and that's why you have to get the mind of Christ. You have to not be conformed to the things of this world any longer, because the things of this world are contrary to the things of God, the things of heaven. So when you think about, that's why the Bible says, come out from amongst them, because, listen, God wants to pull you out. He wants to bring you out to take you in. Pastor Anthony preached that a while ago. God wants to bring you out to take you in to the promised land. You have to hear me on today. There is a promised land that God has for your life, and you cannot get there as long as you continue to hang with the same old crowd, the crabs in the barrel, you know, the people that really don't want to see you succeed anyway. Let me talk about it for a minute. The crabs in the barrel, the same old crowd, the crowd that's going nowhere, the crowd that doesn't want anything out of life, the crowd that's looking at you because you're moving forward by faith and saying, you're crazy, you shouldn't do that, you can't do that, I would not do that if I were you. If I were you, I would do that. I'm not going to support you. You know, you have to look at those people and say, you know what, forget about that. I'm going to do this because this is what God has given me. This is the vision that God has given me. I'm moving forward by faith. No, it does not make sense. But you know what? Faith does not make sense. We believe in a Jesus, a risen Savior. We believe that Jesus rose from the grave. He was dead for 3 days. He died, y'all. He was in the grave for 3 days. And on the third day, he got up with all power in his hand, said that they went to the grave to find Jesus, and Jesus was not there. And that's what God is saying. I'm going to do some things in your life that are going to make absolutely no sense. But in order for me to do it, I need you to be transformed, because the old you can't begin to wrap your mind around the things that I want to do for the new you. Amen. There has to be a newness of life. There has to be a newness of life, and you have to begin to tell those people, the naysayers, the dream killers, the haters, the adversaries, your enemies, you have to begin to tell them that, you know what, I'm going forward with Jesus. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to line myself up with people who are going in the same direction that I am going. I want to line myself up with people who are positive. I want to line myself up with people that love the Lord. I want to line myself up with people that are not causing conflict and schism in the church. I want to line myself up with the people that God tells me to line myself up with, not because of my own agenda, but because it's God's agenda. I'm going to line myself up with the right folk. Amen. And I'm going to get me some mentors. I'm going to, you know, how many of you know you can't go where you haven't gone before unless you have a forerunner? That's why God gives you people who you can follow. That's why he gives you leaders. That's why he gives you mentors. That's why he gives you pastors, amen, to take you into that promised position, to that promised place. That's why he gives you coaches, you know, people that will encourage you to keep moving forward. So who are you following? I heard Bishop T.D. Jakes ask this on the broadcast yesterday. Who are you following? The blind cannot lead the blind. You need to make sure that you are lined up with somebody who is going somewhere. Amen. Make sure that you're lined up. If you follow people that have no integrity, that have no character, people that lie and manipulate stuff all the time, if you follow people, even though they seem to be successful and they seem to be drawing big crowds, listen, you're following the wrong folk. Because they're not going to take you to your promised place. They'll take you to a place that may seem to be prosperous, but that's an Ishmael. That's an imitation. That's a fraud. Amen. That is not the real thing. That is second best. That is not God's best. Because God says, where I'm taking you, you're going to get there with integrity. You're going to get there with your character intact. You're going to get there in such a way that people are going to look at your life and give me the glory. Who am I talking to out there? God is taking you somewhere, and he says, line yourself up with the right folk that can lead you to the promised place, to the place that I'm going. Moses was leading the people of Israel, and all those people did not get in because they wanted to go their own way. They wanted to be stiff-necked. They wanted to be rebellious. They wanted to idolize false gods. But there were two, Caleb and Joshua, that got into the promised land. And I'm saying to you today, are you going to be a Caleb? Are you going to be a Joshua? Are you going to get into your promised land? Are you going to stand on the mountain and declare that I got here by faith, that God brought me here? I used to be in poverty. I used to be in lack. I used to be in depression, but God brought me out. I used to be in doubt, but now I have faith even bigger than the mustard seed. And look at the harvest that God has given me. Come on. God wants so much more for you. You do not have to settle. Listen to me, and I'm getting ready to put Pastor Anthony on. You do not have to settle for second best. You do not have to settle for less. Listen, God is not into sloppy Christians. He's not into Christians who are defeated, because the Bible tells us that you're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. So I want you to look at your life. If your life is messed up, if you are not achieving the goals that you would want to achieve, if you don't feel like you're worthy, if you feel depressed or discouraged, then I want to encourage you to tighten up your walk with the Lord. I want you to encourage you to pray more. I want to encourage you to get into your word more. I want to encourage you to cut off negativity out of your life and surround yourself with positive people, because what you sow into your life is what you're going to get out of life. What you put in is what you're going to get out. The people that you hang out with are the people that you're going to begin to pattern yourself after. So I'm encouraging you, I'm telling you, raise your standards for yourself. Raise your standards for yourself. Decide today, I'm not going with the nonsense. I'm not going to let nonsense enter into my head. I'm not going to let nonsense come out of my mouth. I'm not going to surround myself with people that are full of nonsense. Pastor Emily said this to me the other day. He said, when I was in the world, you got to hear this. This is so powerful. Pastor Emily said, when I was in the world, I didn't put up with nonsense. I didn't put up with people that weren't going anywhere. I didn't allow negativity to surround me. I didn't allow myself to put up with foolishness. He said, so why should I do that in the church? Why would I in the church now allow myself to be surrounded by people that really don't have the things of God in mind or in mind for me? Why do you allow yourself to constantly be stepped on, talked about, pushed over, walked over, counted out by people, even in the church, that really don't have the right intentions towards you? Just because they're in the church does not mean that they have your best interests at heart. Just because they're Christians does not mean that they have your best interests at heart. Amen. Hallelujah. So you have to make up your mind. Is this relationship toxic? Or is this a good relationship? Amen. Is this person, and think about the people you hang out with. Is this person somebody that I admire, that I want to be like? Or is this somebody that I'm just tolerating because they can take me to my next level? No, baby. God does not want you hanging out with chickens when you're an eagle. I'm not calling people chickens. I guess I shouldn't say that. But God does not want you hanging out with people. Okay, when I say chickens, chicken peck at the bottom of the barrel. Eagle soar. That's what I'm saying. So it's a metaphor. God does not want you to hang out with people of a chicken mentality. He wants you to hang out with people who have an eagle mentality. It's time for you to soar. It's time for you to soar above your circumstances. God said your circumstances are no longer going to have any power over you. It's time for you to rise up and develop the mind of Christ so that you can soar above your circumstances. This is a totally new concept for you because some of us have grown up with negativity. Mama was negative. Daddy was negative. My sisters and my brothers were negative. So I've been negative most of my life. And God is saying, no, baby, it's time for a new you. Amen. So we're going to take some calls, starting with Pastor Anthony. God bless you, honey. I know you're out there on the road, but you're on the air.
Amen. Amen. Just powerful what you're talking about today. Let me just make a slight correction. When I was saying when I was in a whirl, I ran with a certain group. I said when I was in a whirl, I did run with people who did not have integrity. So I got into the church, and God began to work on that characteristic of mine, and I began to deal with issues that I had. I was a deceiver. I was a liar. So many things that he said, we got to work on that particular part of your life. When I became a man of God and that new creation that you're talking about to get saved, I became that new person. As an individual, I started letting certain people go when I knew they was about. When I knew what they was about, when I knew they were undermining, I knew they weren't about no good, I saw what they were doing to the people they so-called loved and cared about, I began to break away, and I became kind of a loner because he said, you know, you can't go to places you used to go. So when I became a man of God and a pastor, now that we have to and sometimes affiliate with other churches, other pastors, other congregations, I choose even as a leader to be selective. Glory be to God.
Yeah.
Because you be who you are in public and in private.
Yeah.
So when people get that I'm not hooking up with this person because they got money, they got power, they have a certain degree of influence. You know, Pastor Rebecca, it's easier said than done. We can even look at this political race where millions and billions of thousands of dollars are being built. But a lot of people, if you talk to them, don't believe politicians. But yet, we vote them in according to what they say. I'm not going to raise taxes. And they get in there and say, well, I have to do what I have to do. So it comes to a place where you're talking about today, you don't compromise. In Exodus, Korah, who was a man of the children of Israel, rallied people around him to come against Moses and his leadership, and God dealt with Korah, and the ground swallowed them up, because Moses was a man of integrity, and he said, I'm going to hold my peace and let God fight my battle. And a lot of people flocked to Korah because he was a leader. He was charismatic. He had a large following. but he was not called to be the leader that God chose. Oh, I feel God. And we got to go. That's what you're talking about today. I'm under the belief that we got to go with God, even though it looks like the minority are following God. Your best bet is to still roll your dice, put all your cards, lay your chips in God's camp. And that's what you're talking about today. You know, when you become a new you, the Bible says, you know, that we confess our fault. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what you said today. We need to stop trying to do it. I could not clean my life up. I could not put down the lying and deceiving and the sneaking around corners. I had to let God do it. But when I let go and let God, he began to do a supernatural work that I cannot take credit for. Hallelujah. I wish I could take credit for cleaning my life up. But God did. I wish I could take credit for being different from a lot of men that I know. But God did it. I wish I could take credit for being married for 16 years and being in our home for over 15 years and people are losing their houses left and right. Having a church, they said we wouldn't last 6 weeks. They said we wouldn't last 6 months. But we're out here over 6 years later. I wish I could take credit, but to God be the glory. And that's what you said. When we stop trying to do it and let God do it, we'll see that he'll make us new in him. Hallelujah.
My God. Hallelujah. Yeah.
We can't do it. We cannot do it. We got to let go and let God.
Wow. That is so powerful because so many times people will ask, well, how do you become new? You know, and it's just so powerful because the word, even though the word, when you're new in Christ and you really don't have an understanding of the word, it's hard to understand scripture. But when you, after you meditate on scripture, that's why God tells us to meditate on his word day and night, and then we'll be like trees planted by the water, and everything that we do will prosper. In Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, when God begins to tell us to meditate on the word, in the book of Joshua, he said, meditate on the word. Do not let this word depart from your mouth. He says, then you shall make your way prosperous and have good success. It all comes through the word. When we think about the word, that word, Romans, as I talked about in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind through the word of God. And as we allow that word to come in, then one day you look up and you realize that you're not the same old person. You're not that manipulator anymore. You're not the one that used to use people. You know, I found after meditating on God's word that God changed me. And that's what you were just saying, honey, that it's not us. We can't take credit for the change. We can only acknowledge that it was God who changed us. But you do have a part to play, and that's to be obedient and pick up your word. Be obedient to the word of God. If you don't do nothing but read your Bible, some people say, well, the Bible was boring. I fall asleep every time I try to read the Bible. Well, that's the devil. I'm going to tell you, that's the devil, because the devil does not want you to read scripture, because the devil knows that God's word won't come back to him void. The devil knows that if you fill your mind up with God's word, then all of that thinking will be pushed out. Let me say that again. The devil knows that if you fill up your mind with God's word, all of the thinking that you're accustomed to practicing will be pushed out. In other words, the devil will be pushed out of your mind. See, the problem is a lot of us as Christians, we are still allowing the devil to occupy space in our mind. And when the devil no longer has any power over our lives, and we can literally push the devil out of our head by filling our head with God's word, filling our mind with God's word. So what we have to do is we have to do our part and get that word in. I need to get the word of God into my head. And as a new Christian, I very rarely picked up my Bible. I want to help somebody, because you might say, well, Pastor Rebecca, I guess there's no hope for me because I just can't find myself getting to that Bible. Pastor Anthony and I were opposites. He devoured his Bible. That's why he's so far ahead of me with the knowledge of Scripture. This man is a walking Bible because he has fed himself that steady diet of the Bible for 20 years. Me, on the other hand, I did not want to read the Bible. I wasn't interested in history. The Bible to me was just a big old history book, and I did not want to read the Bible. But God has a plan, because I stayed in church. And that's why I tell people, stay in church. Stay up under that word, because the word, no matter how it comes in, the word is still going to be effective. So whether you hear it through a preached sermon, and make sure they're preaching the word of God. When you come here on Saturdays, when you come here on Wednesdays, even when you come here for prayer, it's all God's word. We're not here to play, because our mission is to transform lives. So that's what we do, amen, but it's all the word. But make sure the word is coming. Don't let nobody be constantly talking nonsense to you or their opinion or philosophies of man. Let that word come in. So we sat up under the word. They were preaching the word. We sat up under the word on Sundays. We sat up under the word on Wednesday night. We sat up under the word during conferences and convocation. And then we began to turn the word on our TV and begin to listen to the word network and TBN and Daystar. Amen. I have DirecTV just because it had more channels that I can listen to the preachers. I need preachers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even as a preacher. So that word came in and began to transform us. But you cannot be changed. God has already changed you, but you cannot become a new you, the new you, which means that your mind has been transformed in along with your spirit until you tune in to the word of God. I need the word of God. Just begin to tell yourself, I need the word. I need the word. I got enough. Turn off Jerry Springer. Turn off, I talked about Cunningham last night. All of those talk shows that come on. Don't you know that from 9 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the evening, is nothing but garbage. You can get garbage all day long on your TV. Choose to substitute that mess for God's message. Amen. Get into the word of God, and God will totally transform your life. He will change you. He will heal you. He will make you wiser. He will prosper you. You will get favor. Amen. When you open your mouth, people will say, wow, they have so much wisdom. People say, Pastor Emily and I have so much wisdom, but this is not our wisdom. This is the wisdom of God, amen, and it only comes through his word. Pastor Emily, I'm going to let you comment, and then we have a caller, so we'll take a caller. Honey, did you have anything to say about that before we take our first caller?
Yeah, I just want to, reiterate what you said. You know, we have these sayings in church and these languages. One of them is that, trials and tribulations and trouble comes to make us strong. And some can mix that up as your trials and your troubles and your tribulations gives you a greater faith, a stronger faith. That is not true according to the Bible. The Bible says, Romans 10:17, and we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing through the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So your faith is, as for, according to the Bible, your faith is developed by hearing. That's what you were just saying. Your faith is going to only be developed by your hearing. So you got to hear that ear gate, that your eye gate. You know, you got to read the Bible. What comes into that eye gate? Your mouth. You got to start speaking the word. The ear gate, the eye gate, the mouth. These three entrances and exits. We got to have that word coming through and exiting out of those parts of our bodies in the natural. So that's what you said. The word changed us. So the word will change other people as well. But we got to let that word come in. And that's why you said we have a part to play.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. That's it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we want to hear, you know, we've had our say, so we want to hear from you. And I'm looking in the chat room, and I see Evangelist Cynthia Robinson. God bless you, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson. It was so good seeing you on last night. The Lord moved mightily. Amen. Even with that word, suddenly. Suddenly. And the word, it wasn't recorded. But that's another thing, that as you renew your mind in the word, you will have that suddenly moment where suddenly you won't be the same person anymore. Suddenly you will be changed. You know, you'll be changed and you'll be like, wow, I'm not even the same person. I don't have the same desires. I don't want to smoke cigarettes anymore. I don't want to lie anymore. I don't want to cheat anymore. You will find that your taste for life has changed, has been transformed. And that all comes through being in relationship with God. See, that's what we're really talking about. This is not just, I want to pick up my Bible, read my Bible, and get some principles from the Bible. No, being in relationship with God will change your life. Amen. It will change your life. And when you're in relationship with somebody, you want to hear what they say. You want to talk to them. You want to talk to them. Amen. You want to give them what they like. You want to please them. Amen. So we're talking about being in a relationship, a healthy relationship with God. I want to hear what God says. Therefore, I'm going to read the Bible. I want to talk to God. Therefore, I will pray. I want to please God. Therefore, I will obey God. I want to pour out my love on God. That's why I praise him. That's why I worship him. I want to tell him how much I love him. That's why I worship him, worship God. So all that we do in the church that seems like it's not even worth the time, or why do we praise God, or why do we worship God, it all makes sense when you think about the fact that we're truly in relationship with God. Amen. We're going to take a caller, area code 908. Area code 908, you're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast today.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Rebecca and Pastor Anthony. It's Evangelist Cynthia. How are you?
Oh, God bless you. God bless you, Evangelist Cynthia. We are doing really well. How are you today?
I'm blessed.
Yes. Well, you're on the air. Let your voice be heard.
Well, after listening to what you guys were saying, I am so in agreement with that. As children of God, we got to make sure that we are fellowshipping, most importantly, with God. I think a lot of people get a misunderstanding when we talk about fellowship. They always think, oh, I got to go to the church and everything else like that. And that's all wonderful when it's done properly. But your first relationship comes with your relationship with God. And the only way to fellowship with God is to get into his presence. If the devil can do nothing else, he will stop you from seeking the presence of God. He will do it by, and Jesus said it perfectly in John when he says that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Well, if he can kill your relationship with God, but you don't seek God because the trials and the tribulations that you go through are too heavy, or he can steal your joy. He can make it so that you refuse to praise God. It's not that you don't want to, but you just get to a point, God, what am I praising you for? Everything's too hard. I can't take it no more. My marriage is rocky. My children are crazy. I ain't got no job. They come and take this car. I don't feel like praising you no more. And if he can destroy your hope, because that's where our faith is. Our faith is in the hope that God will come through like he always has in the past. If the devil can take all that away from you, your fellowship with God is dead at that point. And then he has you exactly where he wants you, where you start stewing and thinking on how I'm going to take care of this, how I'm going to do this, how I'm going to do that. And you start relying on that fellowship with God, which will take you through if you learn to rely on him. And so we need that strong fellowship with God, because then God will give you discernment on who to be around.
Because
everybody's company is not good company. Everybody that seems saved, and I say that seems saved because it says even to the very elect, if God didn't come as quick as you thought, even the very elect of God would fall. You know, so you don't know a person's true heart. You know what they show you. But the true heart of a person, you don't know. And it's not, and God will begin to show you people that you need to be around and people that you don't need to be around. And you don't have to be offensive when you're no longer around them, but just know that when God is moving you away from somebody, there's a reason for that. And sometimes it's for a season.
Yeah.
They may be going through something, and God don't want you to be involved with that. He wants them to grow, so God will remove you from their presence until they grow. I know it recently happened to me. The sister that I brought last night, I stepped away from her for a season.
Wow.
Because I saw God going, stay away. She's not going to grow if you're there. You have to move. And I was like, oh, God, I don't want to do that. And I kept saying, God, I don't want to do that. And then God started putting other women in my life. And I was like, oh, okay. And I started hanging out with the other women that sort of, you know, and she said it to me. She said, I don't talk to you as much as I, but I began to see why God had to move me. She had to get into her place of deliverance. She had to get into her place where she had to start doing what God had called her to do. I was already walking in mine. She had to start walking in hers. Now that she's walking in hers, now me and her can be around each other. But I couldn't be around her, and I was doing my thing, and I felt like sometimes she was holding me back because she would complain all the time. And I'd be like, why are you complaining?
Right.
God told you what to do, just do it. And she went, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. And I started to see it, and I was like, God, please, okay, now I get it. So sometimes it's just a removal. You can't be around everybody all the time. Some people are just not good for you, and sometimes it's your season. Sometimes it's time for you to move up, and people will try to attach themselves because they see where God is taking you, and they want to take the trip with you. And God doesn't want them to go with you. God is going, no, you got to go by yourself, because where I'm taking you, there's no room for that person. And we have to know how to let that person go, because it could be a family member, and we want to take them with them, and God is going, no, this ain't for them. This is for you.
Yeah. Yeah, and we do. So often we want to take those that are close to us. You know, we want to take them and take them with us. And like Abraham, when God told him to get up and leave his father's house, and he took Lot. And Lot was a lot of trouble for Abraham. You know, he was a lot of trouble for Abraham. And it was only when Abraham released Lot, when he released Lot, and Lot, they separated and went their separate ways, that God began to come back to Abraham and again remind Abraham of the promise that he had for him. So you are, that's just a powerful word right there, that we cannot take everybody with us, especially if they're I was thinking about, you talked about people taking your anointing. You know, sometimes people come and they suck the life out of you, even in the area of your anointing. Even in the area of your anointing, like you said, they want your anointing. Some people, they're envious of you, and they present, not that I'm talking about this sister was one of those, but there are sometimes people that will come around you, and they present a block for your anointing, because your anointing can't flow with them, because they are sucking the light. They're almost like usurping all of your energy and taking all of your energy, so that when it comes time for you to minister, you don't have anything, because you pulled out so much individually with that person because they have that many issues. And sometimes God is saying, you know, I did not call you to be their individual minister or pastor or prophet or whatever, what have you. I called you for this church, or I called you for the multitude. So you have to know how to separate yourself. That's what you're saying. Even when the relationship is a good one, that you enjoy being with that person, but sometimes God will sever that relationship so that he can not only take you to your next dimension, but like you said, take that person to their place where he's taking them, to their position, put them in their proper position where they're not leaning on you and depending on you and riding your coattails and trying to go up with you, but they realize that God has a plan and a purpose for their life as well, and that he's not only taking you someplace, but he's taking them someplace as well. So we need to know discern. That was a good word that you used too, that the Lord would give us a spirit of discernment as to who our affiliations will be with, you know. And I was talking about it earlier. No man's an island. No man's an island. We all need somebody. You know, thank God for people that are on my side and in my corner. I often talk about people that have turned their back on me and people that have walked away from me. But there are a lot of people in my corner. And I thank God for you, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson, for you sending me that message last week even, you know, just showing me some appreciation and you know, letting me know about how God has, you feel that God has divinely connected us. So I thank God for that because it came at a good time. Amen. So we have to know and discern who God has connected us to and why we're connected to that person. And then we have to honor the relationship. Amen. And then we have to honor the relationship. You know, we have to honor the relationship and not get to a place of familiarity, because familiarity breeds contempt. So it's hard, you know. You get to a place where you're so familiar with the person. That's why as a prophet, I find myself isolated. And, you know, people that have that spirit of discernment know, they can understand it. If you really know the call of my life, you know that I have to be isolated, even from you who know that we have a spiritual connection. Because
right,
if you get too close to me, or if you talk to me too much, like even last night when I came in, I talked to you briefly at the circle,
right.
Sister. I didn't even talk to the sisters at the table with you. I went and talked to the minister, or the members from my church. Then I came back and talked to you guys again. But I couldn't. God was even telling me then to move my feet, because I knew I was getting ready to minister, and I couldn't stay too long, because when you're a prophet, you cannot minister from your own flesh or your own heart. You have to minister from the throne of grace. You have to minister from God. God's voice coming through your vessel. So God was like, you got to move. You can't listen. You can't hear too much. You can't get too close to people, because then you won't be, I might need you to minister to them, but you won't be able to minister to them because you know too much.
Mm.
So it's a lonely walk. Even your walk and what God has called you to do, you know, you might find yourself on the island sometimes feeling like there's not really that many people around you, that people really don't understand you. And even as you become more focused, you know, I see what I was, even as I was talking to you, I see you becoming more and more focused. I'm looking at the journey that you've traveled this past year, and I see the footprints in the sand. You know that footprints in the sand, and I see God carrying you through a lot of stuff over this past year. That there was nobody but you and God, and that was different for you. It's been a different experience for you, because in the past you've had people around you, but it seems like the crowd is getting thinner and thinner. The your associations, the people that God has around you, is getting thinner and thinner. You know, and sometimes you look up and it's just you. And God is saying, because He's fine tuning your focus. The Lord is fine tuning your focus. He said, this is a season of elevation for you, Evangelist Cynthia. And God is elevating you, there's also a great pruning taking place in your life. There have been people that have latched on to you, even as God has been dropping people from your life. There are people that there's also been a subtraction and an addition, almost like a multiplication in your life. But the relationships are not as deep, and there's some shallowness. There's some shallow relationships, and there are people that are latching on to you just because of who you are and where God is taking you. And God is saying, even now, you're walking into, I see you walking into a great expanse, but I also see you walking into a great pruning, where God is getting ready to prune some people from your life. You're getting ready to go through a falling away. There's going to be a falling away. Just like the disciples, when Jesus looked at the disciples and said, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And so all the multitudes left. They thought he was crazy. They thought he was crazy. They left, and Jesus looked at the 12, and he said, "What are you going to leave too?" And they said to Jesus, "Where are we going? Because you hold the very words of life for us." And that's what's happening in your life, that there's going to be a great falling away. People are going to, this is a season where people are going to think you're crazy. They're going to say, that girl done lost her mind. She think God called her for that. They're going to really think you're crazy, and they're going to fall away. You're going to become so militant. God is, he's raising you up. He's raising you up. And you're becoming so militant in your approach to ministry that many people are not going to be able to tolerate you. They're not going to be able to stand you. They're going to be like, I can't stand her. And but by the same token, there is a remnant that know that you contain, you walk with the very words of life for them, and they will not leave you. They, those are the people that God's getting ready to show you truly who's connected to you and who's not. This is going to be the season that you know who's for you and who's not for you. And then God's going to elevate you into that next dimension. But before he takes you into the next realm, there will be some people that have to be pruned off, thus says the Lord. So God is doing it, girl. God is doing it, and he's saying you have not seen anything yet. But God is saying, you've not become emotionally attached. God said, I've taught you how to emotionally detach yourself.
Yes.
Do not become emotionally
attached
in this season to anybody. I don't care how much they say they love you, how much they cleave to you, how much they sing your praises. This is not the season for you to be emotionally attached.
Wow.
I release that word. I tell you, God is just
I received that because I know that. I was just saying that. Like, I don't know why there are people, and I've noticed recently, like, people seem to be coming to me. And I had said to my husband, I don't understand why all these people are coming to me. I kept saying that. But I know that I was like, God, I don't know what's going on, but there's something different. There's something different. Like, women in my church who would never come to me. Come to me now and will tell me everything, like just pour out.
Yeah.
But God keeps giving me the same. And I'll be like, God, why I say the same thing to everybody? But I think God is letting me know. The reason I'm saying that to you, to say to them, is because that's what they need.
Wow.
And I say the same thing to everybody. Speak life. Just because to me, when they come to me, they speak in death.
Yeah.
You know, things are so bad here. Things are so bad there. Me and my husband are going to speak life.
Yeah.
Stop speaking death. Don't give the devil room. Okay, yes, things are bad. Things are not going well. Okay, well, you know what? You serve a God who loves you, and he's going to look out for you. He's going to provide for you. Learn to live on the promises. Stop looking at the circumstances and live off the word of God. I say this so much. Stop living in your feelings. What you feel. Oh, I feel this way. I feel. So what? Jesus felt the way too. He still hung on that cross. You can't live off the feelings. Live off the promises.
Jesus.
And so one lady got so mad at me because she kept talking. Every time she would speak something, I said, speak life.
Wow.
And she went, but Sister Cynthia Young, speak life. And she finally just walked away from me. And I was like, that's it. That's it. I'm done.
Yeah.
Every time they come to me with something, speak life.
Yes, yes, yeah. Speak life. That's it. And that's the word. You're giving them the word. Declare a thing and it shall be established. You know, in your tongue are the power of life and death in your words, in your mouth. You know, so we have to use that word to minister to people. So that's powerful right there. That's powerful. Well, my God, I tell you, you just keep moving forward because God knows exactly what season you're in, and we have to continue to be obedient to the word of God and speak life. And that's the lesson that God has taught us, and we have to just pass it on to others. We know how we got over. It was only by believing the word of God. He told Joshua, do not let this word depart from your mouth.
Yes, he did.
Same with God. What is your confession? What is God saying? What is your confession? So God bless you, Evangelist Cynthia. Thank you so much for calling in today. I really appreciate you calling in and letting your voice be heard.
God bless you for allowing me to speak.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we have another caller. Before I take that call, I want to give a commercial break. We went to, I met this sister. I went to open house at my daughter's high school on this week, on this past week, last week. I believe it was on Wednesday. And we went, my husband and I were sitting in the back of the room, and there were a box of programs in the back. And, you know me, I'm always inquisitive. So I picked it up, and I looked at it. It was a play that they had done at the school, at the high school here in Bloomfield over the summer. And as I was looking at the program, you know how you buy boosters that you can promote your business, and you can also congratulate somebody that you know that's in the cast. So there was a booster that was purchased by this new restaurant here in Bloomfield, and it's called Southern Bell's Smokehouse. Southern Bell's Smokehouse. So I told my husband, we hadn't eaten dinner, so I said, let's go over and go over to Southern Bell's Smokehouse. And we went over to Washington Street, and we went in there, and it's a smokehouse. So we went in, and the girl was so nice. The young lady was so nice. She gave me her name. I wrote her name down, and I think it's Chrissy. And she was just so nice. And she said, you want a sample? And she gave us a sample of the macaroni and cheese. And that macaroni and cheese hit my tongue, my taste buds, and my eyes popped wide open. I was like, wow. That macaroni and cheese was so full of flavor. It was absolutely delicious. So I was like, wow, that is really good. She was like, oh, you like it? Thank you. And then she gave us some candy yams. She said, you want to try the candy yams? So she gave Pastor Anthony and I some candy yams, some pecan-crusted candy yams. And those candy yams, again, another burst of flavor just from the sample, y'all. Just from the sample. And I was like, wow. And then right away, Pastor Anthony said, I'm getting a dinner here. He knew. And he was going to get a dinner. And I said, you know what? As good as that stuff tastes, that would throw my eating regimen, my nutritional regimen, right out the window. So I said, I'm not going to get a dinner. I'll just eat some of Pastor Anthony's food. So we did buy a dinner. She let us taste the chicken, and it has a white barbecue sauce on it. I have never had a white barbecue sauce. But I'm telling you, this lady, her hospitality, the ambiance in the restaurant, the samples that she gave us, she gave us some beef. And it was like, it was chopped beef with a barbecue sauce or with a sauce on it. Absolutely delicious. It tastes like chopped or pulled pork. But it was beef, and it was really good. And I was like, wow. So she said the candy yams is her grandma's recipe. As a matter of fact, the name is Granny's Candy Pecan Sweet Potatoes. And they have things such as curly fries, mac and cheese, a barbecue bag, baked beans, smoked black eyed peas, smokehouse lore, potato cider, corn bread, deep skillet or cheddar jalapeno. They have a smokehouse chicken salad. They have barbecue brisket, half chicken, barbecue chicken. I mean, slaw dogs, I mean, smokehouse wings, barbecue wings, brisket sandwich, all of this food here at this restaurant. And we got a dinner. We have lunch specials. They have dinner specials. And we got a dinner and came home and enjoyed our dinner. And I told them while we were at the restaurant, I said, you know what, I'm going to talk about your restaurant on the radio station. So I'm talking about the smokehouse. And it's the Southern Bell Smokehouse. I told them to call in. So if you're here, you just press 1, I'll put you on the air. I believe they were here earlier, but maybe they had to go back to work. But it's Southern Bell Smokehouse. Dine in or take out, they deliver. The address is 61 Washington Street, Bloomfield, New Jersey, at Bloomfield Center. They cater, they deliver for a minimum of a $25 order. Their hours are Monday through Thursday, 11 o'clock a.m. until 8 p.m., Friday, 11 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., and Sunday, 12 p.m. until 7 o'clock p.m. They are closed on Saturday. But it's the best smoked barbecue in Jersey is what they say. They advertise on their flyer that they have the best smoked barbecue in New Jersey. Amen. So that's a shout-out for the smokehouse. You can see I like them on Facebook. On my Facebook page, you can see that I like them, and you can go over and visit. Amen. So we're going to take another caller. I'm going to take another caller here. Area code 754. Thanks for holding. You're on the air. Area code 754. You're on the air. Pastor Anthony?
There's Tim here. I said the next time I come to Jersey, I know where I want to eat at now.
Amen. Hey, man, you know what? Next time you come to Jersey, we're going to break bread together. Pastor Emily and I are going to take you to dinner the next time you come to Jersey. So we are looking forward to that.
Yes. I wanted to just chime on the young lady as the word that you was giving her, because we are living right now the beginning of the return of the book of Acts.
This is
where God is taking us now. We're coming into the dimension back to the book of Acts. And God is strategically setting and calling and pulling out different people. It's not by our choice, but completely by his choice. That who he's going to use in this dimension, and that's while you was ministering to her, I said that's why the Lord is taking her the way that he is, because of the way he wants to use her. The Bible tells us come out from among them. He wasn't talking about the world, because we ain't got no business out there. He's talking about the folk in church. To some folks in church that is stagnant and complacent, and that's all they want. They just want, you know, the religious rhetoric every week, and that's all. But there are some of us that really want to be used by God, and that's what God is raising up in this dimension. Back to the conversation I heard earlier, you were talking about how we do God, our relationship with God. Well, I watch people, and the relationship you have with me tells me how is your relationship with God. Because the Bible says, how can you say you love God, whom you never see, and hate your brother, who you see every day? So if you're not called, you know, loving to our brothers and sisters right here in the body, then you don't have to tell me, oh, you got a great relationship with God, because they both spill over into each other. Your relationship, when it's healthy with God, will come out in your natural relationship with the people that you deal with. And when your relationship is loving towards people, then that let me know that you love God. How can you love? We speak one thing, but our actions denote and denounce, or rather say something else. Say something else. And that's not accurate. Thank you.
Wow. Pastor Anthony?
Yeah, Apostle, he just came on to something so powerful, even as he spoke about Evangelist Cynthia Robbins, as God is in this season in her life, just moving her to a place of prominence in the kingdom. I told her last night, I pray that she sell hundreds and thousands of her books. And she, when you interviewed her, she said that has been in her spirit for a long time, and God has chose to birth it in this season in her life. And he'll open doors that no man can shut. Churches will invite her in to minister to women groups. And she really has to be anointed and appointed and ready for that. And God is separating her in doing that. But it's something so powerful that you and Apostle were just saying. We really got to live this thing. And it starts with our fellowship with God. We sometimes do feel God, and we feel his presence, feel the anointing. Fill his power, and that's a wonderful time to say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, or we see his hand at work, we see the favor on our lives. But I'm here to announce that sometimes you don't feel him. Oh, sometimes you don't sense him. Sometimes you don't see him. Sometimes you wonder, God, are you there? And that is the time, you know, when you just talk about the fellowship with God. It's an unconditional love on our part. It's a respect and a reverence and adoration for the invisible God, knowing that he cares for us. He can't love us any more than he loves us. So it's not up to him to move his position towards us. It's up to us to align ourselves up with him. So even as Evangelist talked about that fellowship, as you talked about sometimes last night, you spoke about how sometimes the people in the body of Christ will hurt you and cut you the deepest. And you said to us last night as an audience, we got to be real with our real feelings. Sometimes you want to go somewhere and cry or almost lash out and hit somebody, but you can't do that. But you said last night that it's a real, we're real people dealing with real issues. And sometimes it hurts when people come against us that we know. The psalmist said in that 55th chapter of Psalms, he said, if it had been an enemy, I can take it. Or if it had been someone that I know was against me, I would have hid myself. He said, but it was my acquaintance. It was my friend. It was my equal. And sometimes that hurts the most, when it was somebody you went to church with, somebody you grew the ministry with, somebody that you trusted that split your church, so somebody that you relied on that decided to walk away. Those are hurtful moments. And even in those moments, Apostle was just saying, there's a separation going on. The apostles in the first church, they did great exploits because they were isolated. You know, in the Acts of the Apostles, the church was scattered. But as the church was scattered, the church was built. Glory be to God. Peter and Paul was doing the work. James and John was doing the work. The other apostles were sent to the uttermost parts of the world, and they were all building churches and doing the individual work. And Apostle just shed some light on some stuff. God is getting us back to that place where we're doing the individual great work for his kingdom.
Wow. Wow. Apostle Amica, Pastor Emily, that's powerful what you just said. Thank you so much. I want to go back to Apostle Amica because he did mention that Acts Church, that God is taking us back to the Acts Church. You know, and part of being a new you is, and I talked about this earlier, guys, and also for the listening audience, that we can't go where God is taking us unless we change. You know, God wants to manifest some changes in our lives. You know, it's easy to point the finger at other people, and people literally get mad at me when we have conversations like this. I've had people send me emails and saying, you know, that they don't really like the direction that this broadcast is going. And I'm like, well, we're talking to, you know, I can't please everybody. I can only flow in what I believe God is saying, you know. And I think I know that as we dialogue about this, that we are truly making a difference in how somebody who hears this does church. We need to stop tolerating sloppiness in our churches, in the Lord's church. We need to stop turning a blind eye to bad behavior. And it starts with us. Michael Jackson said, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. So, Apostle, you said it so powerfully that God is doing something new in the church, and where he's taking us and saying he's separating us and saying come out from amongst them, not meaning the world, but even some who are in the pews, come out from amongst them and be ye separate, and be ye holy, for I am holy. How do we explain that to people who are listening and say, Apostle, I need you to help me with this? How do we explain that to people who are listening who would say, well, yeah, I'll just be a critical of the church? Or how do you talk about people who may be a little immature in the faith? And, you know, you guys are leaders, and you're standing high and looking low, and you're looking down on people, and you're talking down on people. How help me to explain to those who are listening exactly what we're talking about and why it's so important for it to be said.
God takes a few people and do colossal things. God always said, he told Gideon had 30,000. He said, send 20,000 home right off the bat.
Yeah.
I don't need that. The history of God is that he always pulls out a remnant. He's always pulling out a remnant and saying, I'm going to take a few people. And we have to decide whether or not we want to be part of the masses or the remnant. And a lot of people in churchdom, they want to be part of the masses because they feel in the midst of the masses, they're moving somewhere and going somewhere. But God will come in the masses and pull 20 people out. The Bible says that they were. First of all, let's start with Jesus. The Bible says Jesus was in somebody's house. In their house. He wasn't in the synagogue. He wasn't in the temple. He wasn't out, but he was in the house. And the people say the whole city was gathered at the door of the house listening to what Jesus was saying. The scripture in Acts says that the two went out of, maybe Pastor Anthony can help me remember, that there were two who went out, and the Bible says they turned the whole world upside down. It's about us as individuals saying yes to God and just moving out and going on with what he would have us to do. That's what it is. You say to yourself, yes, God, I do dare to be different. I don't want to be, guess what? As great as Pastor Anthony is as the man of God and the teacher of the word, and as great as Prophetess Rebecca is as a founder and teacher and author, all of those gifts that she has, that I admire so greatly out of the both of the lives of the man and woman of God, I don't want to be them.
That's good.
But he's using them to speak to thousands of people throughout the course of their ministry. But as great as God is doing that, I don't want to be them because that is not my assignment. Their assignment, and that's the problem with the church. The church always wants to emulate what somebody else is doing instead of being our own individual. God, in his wisdom, has chosen us to do a special work, individually. And so I always say I can be the best Stephen Hammaker that I can be. I can't be a Pastor Anthony, but I can be the Hammaker that I can be. And I'm just thankful to God because in that he watch this, okay? When you stand before God. He's not going to ask you about Pastor Rebecca and Pastor Anthony's ministry. He's going to ask about, well, what did I tell you to do?
Yeah.
What did I tell you to do? Did you do that? No, well, I was over there trying to be Pastor Anthony. He said, I didn't call you to be Pastor Anthony. I called you to be Stephen Hammaker. And a lot of people are wasting their time trying to be like somebody else instead of being the person that God has called you to be.
Yeah, that's powerful. That is so powerful. And that helps somebody because God has something for all of us to do. And, you know, when we highlight or expose what's going on in the church that's contrary to the word of God, we are we're exposing the devil, and in the same breath, you know, we are encouraging you, exhorting you, not to go in that same direction, because there's too much in the news about clergy. There's too much in the news about so-called Christians that is derogatory to the church, that is giving the church a black eye, that is crucifying Christ all over again. And we, while you're in the pew, before you get to the point where you pick up a mantle or pick up a title, while you're still yet in the pews, God is saying, I need you to become new. And that's what this whole segment is about, becoming a new you. Before you get the title, before you preach that first sermon in the church, before you put on the mantle, before he, before you decide to be assigned a mandate, God is saying, I need you to be whole. I need you to be healed. I need you to be walking in integrity. I need you to be walking in character. I need you to be walking in holiness. I need you to be walking in obedience. So that's why we spend some time talking about the sins of the brethren, because God does not want that. That is not what God wants from his church. He does not want. He said, how can you who are dead to sin continue to sin? So we need to die to sin. We need to die to our flesh, crucify the flesh, put the flesh under. And if something like this makes you uncomfortable, then you got to ask yourself and ask God, God, what is it in me that needs to be crucified? What is it in me that is still raising up and bucking and kicking against the, your word and kicking against the pricks? And let God change you and totally transform you so that you can become a carrier of his glory. God, you were born for God's glory. You were created for his glory.
Yes.
You know, so when we realize that low life is not acceptable for a Christian, low living is not acceptable for a Christian. It's not acceptable. If you are any form of low living, you got to deal with that thing. You got to nail it to the, it's already been nailed to the cross. You got to let it go. You got to strip, that, allow God to take that out and off of you so that he can get the glory in your life. And there are things that we do, that Christians do, that are not acceptable. They are not acceptable. Mm-hmm. There's certain behavior in the church that is not acceptable. Apostle, I'm going to let you speak. But, and also, listen, you don't have to just hear us. If you want to chime in, press 1. The phone lines are full. You can just press 1 and I'll put you on the air. And also, if you're listening in the chat room, 646-652-4832. I'm going to see their hand, Apostle Emeka. I'm going to let you comment and then we're going to take another call.
We always want to be, and the testimony of Pastor T. Jakes, he said somebody came to him and said, I want what you got. He said, I want you to pray that I get what you, I get. So Jake said he started praying and said, Lord, let him lose everything he had. Lord, let him be, you know, dig ditches and just all kind of hell break loose. The man said, he said, I want what you got. He said, this is how I got it. Because of the process. That the Lord, see, that's the thing. You don't want to go through the process for yourself. You want to ride on somebody else's. And God does not have to duplicate anything. He's the originator of everything.
Wow. Oh, that is just so powerful. And on that note, we're going to take another call. Just stay with us, Apostle. Amen, because I think you just stirred up something. Amen. Area code 713, you're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca, Pastor Anthony, and Apostle. My name is Minister Misty, Sister with Voices. I'm so honored to be able to hear this message today. I bless the name of the Lord for your gift and the truth that you're speaking today. It was so what I needed, because sometimes I feel as if I'm walking alone in this journey and walking with God. You know, I just don't even know where to begin. You spoke on so many areas that speaks to my heart today. But I prayed last night that God would confirm my next move. I prayed that he would confirm what he was speaking to me in this season was truly not of my flesh, of my hurt or pain or the discord that I'm experiencing within the church, and that it was his steps ordering me out. And so I bless God for your confirmation, his confirmation through your mouth, through each of you who have spoken to my heart today. I cannot even thank you enough. He always uses you to speak to me when I'm in transition. So I bless God for
wow.
you and your
wow.
husband and the apostle and the evangelist. Each one of you spoke to me where I am today. And so I'm just overjoyed with God's grace and his mercy, his love for me to know that I want to stay in his perfect will. I don't want to get out of line with where he's taking me. And so I am sure today, after this show, I am sure where I'm to go and what I am to do and how to do it. So I bless God for each one of you today. God bless you.
Prophetess, may I say a word to this young lady?
Go ahead.
If in your travels, you're traveling with a crowd of people, you're going in the wrong direction.
Amen.
In your process in this dimension, in your process, if it's just you and God, you're traveling the right road. God's taking you somewhere. But if you got a crowd of people, you follow the crowd of people, or you got a crowd of people with you, then you're going in the wrong direction. Obviously, because God is calling. He's calling us out. In this dimension, he's the people that God is going to use in this, we will all have the same testimony. God has called us out, and he's using us as individuals. And so be encouraged. You're on the right road because you're going, it's just you and God. It's just you and God. You're on the right road. Stay there. And God has, watch this. He reminded me of something he gave me some months ago. He said, I want you to chase after me hard. Chase after God, says, chase him with all your might. And he says, the harder you chase me, the further I'm going to back up from you. He said, but then when you come to yourself, you find yourself standing on top of the mountain. And then you say, well, how did I get up here on top of this mountain? God said, because you was, your attention was on me and not on climbing the mountain. And I led you up here. I brought you up here because it's on the top of the mountain that we see the wonders. And here, remember when Moses was go up to the top of the mountain in New Testament, Jesus took Peter, James, and John on top of the mountain, and they seen things that nobody else experienced or seen because they were on top of the mountain. That's where God has taken us. He's taken us down the valley, but we got to come up on top of the mountain. It's by yourself. It's by yourself. You can't take a crowd.
Wow. Amen.
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I receive that word. That is exactly where I'm at. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Wow. Amen. Apostle, that's just so powerful because as you were beginning to minister, the Lord showed me, and then I don't know, I was sitting here, and I'm like, I saw you moving, Prophetess Missy. I saw you moving. I literally saw a U-Haul truck, you know, but it wasn't one of those big trucks. It was like it was like the medium-sized truck, and I also saw stuff in the truck, but then I saw stuff on the sidewalk. And then there was some, the God is saying there's some stuff that you can't take with you. And then as he began to give me clarity in that, I saw people standing on the sidewalk as you were pulling off in the U-Haul. God is moving you. He's transitioning you. And God is just, he's just speaking confirmation because even last night he had me reading in a book that I was reading about when he begins to move you, how to know that it's him. He said, first and foremost, you got to make sure sure that you have done everything you could to utilize your gifts in that particular church. And I don't know why God has shown me the church. I think probably because you mentioned being disgruntled with the church. He said, then you got to make sure that you're not running around putting your mouth on the leadership in the church. And then you have to make sure that you're not causing division in the church, that you're not trying to take people out of the church. And if there's a check mark with all of those, that none of these things are taking place, then you could be confirmed that God, it is God and not your flesh, you know, and that it's in obedience to the Spirit. But I believe God is, I see God moving you. And another thing I see, and I have you muted because of the feedback, I'm going to put you back, your mic back on in a second. But another thing I see is it's like a whore. God is disconnecting you from the whore. And it's like Hosea, when he told Hosea to go and marry Gomer, and he wanted to show Gomer through Hosea his love. And God says there's been a spirit connected, somebody with a whore spirit, with a spirit connected to you, that they've been running here and there and doing this and that and saying they're for you and they're with you, and they haven't really been for you and they're with you. And he says, and that person, God said, now this is the season when he's allowed you to pour into that person, even though that person wasn't fully committed to you. But now God is saying he's giving you a release from that person. Hallelujah. And I don't know exactly who I'm seeing it, even being more than one person, people that God has allowed you to be connected to and to minister to, but God is cutting the connection. And that's what I hear God saying, that he's cutting the connection between you and some people that you have even ministered to, some people that have been in your immediate circle, some people, the crowd that Apostle talked about. He said God is saying there's a pruning, and then there's they take these shears, and when you go and get your hair weed, there's a thinning. They take these thinning shears, and they begin to cut the hair where it does not change the length of the hair, but it changes the bulk of the hair. And God is saying, I have not changed the power of your anointing, but I'm pruning and I'm thinning out the bulk of the people that are around you. I'm thinning it out. So there's a thinning out taking place in your life, and there's a cutting taking place, and you almost feel like you're being cut because some of these people are so close to you, they're so connected to you, you feel like you're being cut. But God's saying you're not being cut. He said you are being cut, but even more than that, the people around you are being cut off. There's a cutting off. So that's all I see. So I'm going to just stop right there. And see if any of that registers with your spirit.
Everything you and the apostle spoke is where I am. God has cut away everyone in ministry, and now he's cutting me from the church. Even on my job, I got a promotion, and all of my coworkers are gone. Pretty much I am standing alone, and it's me and God. And I've never had so much peace. Because I know I've been in this place of transformation within me. I wanted to be able to be, if I'm going to speak the word, I need to be in his image. And there were some things in me that I didn't like of myself, so I asked God to purge me, cleanse me, and wash me. I've been in this season almost 3 years. I'll be 3 years in February, and it's almost like, okay, now when you look in your mirror, you can no longer see yourself because those people are who you used to be somewhat. And so I know that now not who I used to be. So everything you guys are speaking is so speaking to my spirit, because all of my labor was not in vain, allowing God to cut me and purge me and wash me and cleanse me, because I am a new creature, and I've never been in a place where I can be proud of who I am, but I am today.
Wow.
But it's only through his grace and his mercy that he saw fit to do the work in me. And so I thank him every day. Thank you for your Holy Spirit working on me and being patient with me, you know, and loving me even when I couldn't love myself. Thank you for even teaching me to love myself, that, you deal with the spirit of manipulation, because I honestly knew all of these people you speak of was used, were leeches in the spirit. They only leeched on my anointing to get where they were wanting to go. I knew what I was seeing. God gave me the discernment, but my heart was to serve him. And I felt like if I didn't allow these things to just be able to be used, then I was not serving God. But I now have the wisdom of God to understand that, no, I don't have to accept these people in my life. They're not worthy of my anointing or my call. And that God will send those who will appreciate and value me. And there may be still some that I have to minister to because I'm dealing with hurting people. But I'll be able to, like you said, isolate myself and know that there's a limitation. You can't get so close to me. And so I bless God for teaching me all of this. I'm so content and happy with me today. And I bless God for you all speaking into my life. I receive it. I receive it all.
Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm a good apostle back on. But there's a seducing spirit. Even now, Misty, in the background, I see, you know, even as God is pruning away people with that have had, he's been pruning people. But there are people that are trying to come around you still with a seducing spirit. And there's a seducing spirit, very seductive. You know, even in your times of loneliness, in your times of isolation, God is saying to you, beware of the seducing spirit. You know, I preached about the woman, even the lady that was running around Paul, behind Paul and them, Luke and Silas, in the book of Acts, and chapter 16, and she was declaring, these are the men of the Most High God. That's the spirit that's trying to come after you now, the spirit that wants to confirm the anointing on your life. And God is saying, you don't need anyone. He had me say this on last night, and he just brought it back to me today. You don't need anyone to co-sign what he has already said about you. You are anointed. You are appointed. You are chosen. And there are so many people, when I talk about that whoring spirit, that spirit that wants to come and sleep with you in the spirit and then wants to go and sleep around with other folk and you know, just discard you but come back and use you when they get in the mood for you. And God is saying, I stripped that person away, but now there's another spirit, a seductive spirit. It's almost like a spirit of a python. And that's the spirit that this woman that was following behind Paul and Silas, she had the spirit of the python. And it's like a spirit of the boa constrictor that would come and wrap itself around you and try to suffocate you and squeeze the breath out of you. And God is saying, be forewarned, be forewarned, because that's the spirit that's lurking in the shadows and trying to attach itself to you during this new season in your life as you have become more confident of yourself. And God says he's also healing you from that spirit of rejection where so many people have rejected you in the past that you're very leery of new people that are coming into your life. And God says he's giving you the spirit of the sons of Issachar, that you would be even able to discern the seasons. And you're able, your spirit of discernment is increasing. And God is saying, even as people begin to reject you in this new season, that you'll be able to stand and discern and know what spirit that they were carrying. And you'll be able not only to discern it, but because you are not letting them get too close to you, like you just said, you will be able to deliver them. See, that was the thing. Paul got grieved with the woman. He turned around and he spoke to the spirit and told the spirit to come out of her. And the Bible said he came out of her immediately. That devil came up out of her. That demon came out of her. And that's what God is getting ready to use you to do in this next season of your life. You're going to deliver a lot of people out of that spirit, those spirits, those whorings, the spirit of Gomer, and the spirit of that woman that came, the divination, the spirit of the python. God is getting ready to use you. This is what's coming after you, and this is what God's going to use you, because you are more than a conqueror over these spirits, and God's going to use you to deliver many people. They will be set free. And because people are going to be set free, there are going to be others who have been using them for their benefit that are going to be angry with you because people are going to be delivered. So God is saying that's a whole lot of warfare that you come through, but you get ready. I'm sorry. You get ready to enter into another season, Misty, of warfare. And I just want to speak that to you. But God says you're equipped for the battle. You are equipped for the battle. So I'm going to let Apostle come back in. Apostle,
amen.
I don't know before we let Misty go. I don't know if you had anything else that the Lord was leading you to say to her.
You said it all. You really just said it all. And just you know, there's a day. We are in the day of separation. We're in the day of separation. We're really in the day of separation. I had, and you know, I don't have any real worldly friends. Most of my friends are in ministry or in church. But even in that, God has separated me. Because watch this. This is the reason. Because where God has taken us, they can't go. It's not designed for them to go. The place that God is taking us is not designed for some people to go. So, you know, when they're leaving, don't cry, don't have no pity party, don't get upset, and don't beg them to stay. Let them go. Let them go because, first of all, where God is taking us is not for them to go. If he, watch this, if he wanted them to go, then he would have brought them there himself. And so we don't know the conversation that God has with certain people. In the midnight hour, when God is saying, I want you to be, and they're like, no, I want to hold on to my friend. I want to hold on to this. I want to hold on, as prophets were saying, I want to hold on to my seducing spirit. I want to hold on to the spirit of the python. And God said, I want to deliver you. And they have made choices. Spiritual choices. This is where I want to be, and God is calling. God is calling a holy people that is not contaminated by no shape, form, or fashion of any sin. That's what God is calling, and some people, you know, when we're in church. And I realize this, too, because when we're in church, we all look alike.
That's good.
When we're in church and we're worshiping, everybody got their hand up and their eyes closed and speaking in some unknown tongue. But then after church, then a lot of people go back to that place where they come from, which is contaminated by sin. And God wants people that are not contaminated. Jesus said you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're not contaminated with the things that the devil has. And there are certain people. They can play the part. They know how to jerk. They know how to They know how to do all that. And you say, oh, look how big he is. But when they out of church, they're on Facebook. They're on Facebook talking another language. They're on Facebook posting pictures, inappropriate pictures of so-called men and women of God.
Wow. Wow.
They're on private chat lines.
Yeah, and that's so true, and that's what the Lord was showing me, that he is calling out the remnant. You know, and Evangelist Robinson, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson, Pastor Anthony, you Apostle Amaker, myself, and so many that are listening that will be even listening to the archive of this broadcast. You're the chosen ones. You know, you've been called out. Many are called, but few are chosen. The chosen, that's the remnant. And God has called us out to take the narrow road. It's not the road of popularity, but it's a narrow road. And we are called to speak some real truth. That's why God puts us in isolation, whether you're a minister, a prophet, apostle, pastor, teacher. But if you are in this season of dispensation where God is using you to speak into the lives of his people, those who are saved and those who are not saved, you are going to go into a period of isolation because God needs you to be separate. He needs you to be consecrated. He needs you to be emotionally detached so that when it comes time for you to tell somebody the truth, your emotions don't get in the way. Well, I like her, so I'm not going to say that to her, or I like him, or I'm not going to tell him the truth about his sorry self.
No, God is calling for us to speak loud, cry loud, and spare not their feelings, because they need the truth. It's only the truth that's going to make some people free. The truth made me free. Somebody told me the truth about me sleeping around outside of marriage. And when I heard that truth, I had a choice. I could either keep sleeping around or I could get married. And you know, I chose to get married. So the truth is going to make us free. We can either keep going against God's word, or we can line up with God's word and walk in spirit and in truth and worship him like he commands us to do, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Powerful. Wow. I didn't know this broadcast would go like this today, but when the prophets pray, when the prophets pray, the angels move. And heaven moves on the behalf in response to the prophet. Amen. So when you pray and ask God for an answer, when you pray and ask God for confirmation, and he did this one time before with us, God shifts things to line up so that he can give you what you asked him for. That shows me that you're a true prophet of God. God is moving mightily in your life. And there are people that even want you to question to call a prophet on your life, sister. So you got to know you're a true prophet of God. It's not your flesh. It's not out of your own heart. When you start speaking and you get that unction in your spirit to speak, that's God. God is saying to you today that is me. And it's not popular. You're not always saying what people want to hear. But God is saying to you, cry loud and fear not, because there are lives. People's lives are at stake. At stake. It's a matter of life or death. So you can't hold back. I feel you like Jeremiah saying, I will not speak. But God said you must speak.
Yeah. Amen. So, I receive that.
I believe God has spoken.
Amen. I receive everything to God. Be the glory.
I just felt the period hit my spirit. Point blank period.
Amen. I receive it all. Amen. I bless God for that.
Oh, my God. Even the prophet needs to hear what God is saying. He said you're an apostle and a prophet to speak into your life today. And I know you received every single word, my sister. You go forward.
Amen.
I have not seen nor has ear heard, nor has it even entered into your heart the things that God has prepared for you as you walk this road of obedience.
Amen. I receive it. Thank you so much.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you all.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we have 7 minutes left. I feel the power of the Lord so mightily, Pastor Anthony.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. When you ask apostle to clarify, because sometimes we are misunderstood or misinterpreted on what we believe. But I'm going to say this very quickly. The Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That's Galatians chapter 6. But it goes on to say in that 10th verse, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith.
Yeah.
And we may get, as the program moves forward, we talked about leaders, we talked about separation, we talked about a remnant, and sometimes that's misunderstood that we are not loving those who are weak or those who are struggling with their Christian walk. That's not what we're saying on this show, on this broadcast. I pray that as people tune into you and I, honey, and the New Creation Church family, that they feel our love. We love people. We love the body of Christ. We love the brethren and the sister, and we love those who are weak. But the Bible says clearly right here, consider thyself lest thy fall. And as you were saying, honey, with the apostle, as we separate ourselves, even Jesus did it, and we know he loves everybody. He always went to an isolated place. The apostles found themselves together, the 12, in an upper room, and they found themselves away from the world. being taught by Jesus. They were isolated. So it's not coldness. It's not that we don't love people and love those who God sends us to. The very fact that we isolate ourselves, and by the time we get to you, we have something to impart. That shows our love for the body of Christ. So I'm glad that you clarified that we do love people. And don't misunderstand us, don't write us, don't email us, don't tune out from this broadcast saying they think they're high-minded. No, everybody on this line loves people. But we need to know that when he separates us and isolates us, it's for his purpose. But we do love. Amen.
Amen. Pastor, let me just add a little piece to that, too. Listen, for those of you who are struggling, for those of you who are caught up in negativity yourselves, for those of you who have some bad habits and you just can't break them, you just can't seem to break them, I'm going to say this. God is saying to you, come out from amongst them. A lot of the stuff you find yourself caught up in today and a lot of the thought process that you find yourself experiencing is because you're caught up in old behaviors due to old affiliations. And God is saying that if you find yourself around people that are pulling you down, people that are like crabs in the barrel, people that are influencing you, because the Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. So if you find yourself constantly around people who are gossiping, people who are throwing daggers at others, people who are constantly wanting to bicker and fight and cuss and steal and lie and cheat, if you find yourself constantly, if that is your inner circle and those are your friends and you're on this, you're listening to the sound of my voice today, it's time for you to pull out from the pack. It's time for you to come out from amongst them. God wants to elevate you. God wants to make you new. It's time for you, as that person who finds yourself caught up in mess sometimes and you don't know why you're still cursing and why you're still cheating on your spouse or why you're still lying and why you don't have enough faith, you feel like you don't even have enough faith to make it from day to day. God is saying it's time for you to elevate your expectations, and it's also time for you to elevate the level of the people that you surround yourself with. You know, it's time for you to elevate your way of living. Amen. It's time for you to go higher, because God is saying to you today that that's not the plan he has for you to just wallow around there at the bottom. The bottom is too full. God says he wants to make you the top. You are the top and not the bottom, the head and not the tail. If you're living in a low level of living, you're living beneath your means. You're living beneath your means. And that's all we're saying on today. No matter what level, no matter who you are, whether you're in the pews or in the pulpit, whether you're in the church or out of the church, this message is for you. This word is for you. God wants you to be brand new. He wants you to live a new life. He came for you to have life. Jesus came for you to have life and have that life more abundantly, especially if you're in the church. If you're in the church and you're experiencing low life, you're living too low. And God wants you to come up. God wants you to come up. So we want you to receive this word, you know. We don't want you to feel like, well, I don't know what they're talking about. I'm doing the best I can. Well, God says he has better for you. And guess what? You can do better. You may be doing the best that you can, but that's not the best that God has for you. And we're just going to say it. I'm going to say it. I'm telling you, God has better for you. God has blessings with your name on it. God has blessings with your name on it. So it's time for you to receive. It's time for you to receive. Stop holding back on God. Stop walking in disobedience. Get in line with God's word for your life so that you can receive everything that God has for you. There is an open heaven over your head, but there's a net holding up your stuff, and that net is called disobedience. And God is saying it's time to line up. It's time to line up. It's time to line up. So I just released that word for whoever will receive it on today. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more minute. My God, we're out of time. Pastor Emily, Apostle Amica, wow, we're out of time. Apostle Amica, I'm going to give you the last word as we go off the air today.
I want to address what you said earlier about when the prophets pray. And we are designed to change the atmosphere and the climate of what's going on around us. And that is a mechanism. While you were talking, the Lord was saying to me, the mechanism of prayer, the mechanics of prayer, is to change the climate and the atmosphere. And so when the Bible says that when you receive, you shall receive power, the power of prayer, when you receive the Holy Ghost. So then that works for anybody. You don't have the prophet, the apostle, but because of our light, we are able to change the climate. And just by our presence that's coming in, we have the ability to change the atmosphere and the climates that surround the situation. And so to anybody, prayer changes that.
God bless you, Apostle. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And go out and get Evangelist Cynthia Robinson's book, I Am Leah. Amen. And you can connect with Evangelist Cynthia Robinson on Facebook and find out how to get a copy of her powerful, life-changing book. Again, God has given us the tools, amen, to utilize, amen, in order to go forth and become that new person that he created us to be. Well, we're out of time. We're not out of words, of course. We want to invite you to come to our women's conference, the 7th Annual Women's Conference, Christian Women of Power. This year's theme is Woman Power, Warriors on the Front Line. And our speakers are Prophetess Angie Singletary, Pastor Alicia Cooper, Dr. Virginia Booth, who's also a prophet of the Most High God. Pastor Emily and myself will be ministering in this conference. And it's October the 12th through the 14th, starting on that Friday night. You can get more information about that shortly on my website and on Facebook. I'll be posting the flyer shortly. We're excited. There's no registration fee. We invite you to put it on your schedule. You have to travel to New Jersey. Just do that and get there if you can, because God is going to move mightily during this conference. We will have lunch on Saturday. Again, there is no registration fee. We will give you an opportunity to sow seed into the ministry. That goes without saying, amen. But we look forward to seeing your face in the place. Come and visit. My birthday is on Tuesday. We'll be celebrating my birthday at church on tomorrow, amen. No special services. We're going to be worshiping the Lord. What better way to praise God for my life than to praise God with me as we worship the Lord in this sanctuary? That will be tomorrow. Come on over to New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. Join us for prayer every Tuesday night right here on blogtalkradio.com/power and our noonday service at 12 o'clock noon every single Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. God bless you. We love you. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen. How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce? who gave,
who gave your life like you,
who paid the price,
who paid our price like you.
There's only one.
There's
if you know there's only one.